Morning, everybody. Is that good volume for y'all? Okay. Let's pray. Our Lord God and Father, we're here this Sunday morning, Lord, and as always, we're ready to hear from you, Lord. This is your day, and we want to start it with you. It's going to be a beautiful day, lovely temperature, had a little water, not going to hurt a whole lot. So we just thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for allowing us to come together here and meet this morning. And as we read from your word, Lord, I just ask you minister to each and every one of us, and let it be something that we can use to draw closer to you and just get to know you better and serve you better. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about Jesus this morning, which I guess I do that most mornings, but we're going to talk about him some more. And I guess I want to talk about who he is and who Jesus said he was. You know, you turn on the television and stuff, and there's a lot of people that talk about Jesus, and not everybody looks at Jesus the same way that we do. You know, the Jehovah's Witness, they look at Jesus a certain way. The Mormons, they look at him another way. And we look at him a different way. And I'm not here to say I'm right or they're wrong or whatever. That's for each person to decide in their own heart as to what they want to believe. But I do want to tell you what the Bible says. And in my heart, I know that the Bible's the Word of God. But even that is something that you have to come to your own conviction on. You got to read it. And you got to study it. And if the Holy Spirit comes to you, which I know the Holy Spirit will, Holy Spirit will minister to you, and the Word of God becomes truth. But let's see what Jesus said as to who he was. You know, because a lot of people say, you know, Jesus, he's a good guy. He was a good prophet. He was a good man and all that. But we don't believe he was the Son of God. So I want to read some scriptures to see what the Bible says he is. I'm going to start in Luke 2:41. It says, every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. Now, there was Joseph and Mary. You know, Mary was his mother. Joseph was his adoptive dad. Now, every Passover, they all had to go to Jerusalem, and they went there, and we'll read on. It says, when his parents, I'll have to kind of fill in the blanks a little bit. We can't read it all. But at the end of the ceremony, when everybody went home, you know, they traveled in groups. They all took off to go home. Well, a couple days later, they find out Jesus ain't there. And I don't know if my wife could have missed my son that long or not, but it happened. So they go back to find him, and they found him at the temple. And here's what they said. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Why were you searching for me? He asked. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? But they did not understand what he was saying to them. So even at 12 years old, he already makes the first statement that he has to be in his father's house. And his own mom didn't even understand what he was trying to say. But we'll just kind of remember that as we go on. You know, as he grows up and he starts his ministry, you know, he's out traveling and he has to travel to Samaria. And he stops at a well. And he stops at his well and he gets to talking to this woman. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. So he stood right there and he made the statement that he is the Messiah. The Old Testament, you know, prophesied that there will be a Messiah. And the Jewish people to this day are looking for their Messiah to come. And Jesus right there made the claim that he was the Messiah, that he was already here. But I want to read a couple more scriptures. You know, and when he was arrested, you know, right before his crucifixion, you know, when he was going through the trial and all that stuff, You know, they were trying to figure out who he was. And I mean, they knew who he was, but they were trying to explain it away. But during the trial, the high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." "Yes, it is, as you say," Jesus replied. "But I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Now that is some tall statements. I mean, he says he is the Son of God. And these people are like, "No, we ain't believing that." They don't want to believe that. So, where did we go with that? Well, let's see what Scripture says. I mean, that's the easiest way to figure out where to go with it. Because if we were sitting right here and some guy walked in and said, "I'm the Son of God," we'd probably all look at him and send him to the loony bin. I mean, that is a, you know, something really, that's a very tall thing to say. But let's read on in John 10:22. "Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him saying, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly.'" In other words, explain to us why we should believe that you are the Son of God. Well, here's what Jesus comes back with. Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you're not my sheep." If you read through the New Testament, I mean, there's miracle after miracle that Jesus did. If you heard the story of Lazarus, I mean, Lazarus was in the grave for 2 or 3 days. And there's even a mention that he was already stinking. I mean, he'd been in there so long. And Jesus still raised him from the dead. He turned water into wine. I mean, he did just miracle after miracle. I'd say that should be enough to convince people that he is who he says he is. But just like he says right here, "But you do not believe because you're not my sheep." You know, there's actually a spot in the Bible that says that it doesn't really make sense to people that don't believe. You know, you can go over to Israel, you can dig up all the history, you can do everything. And I mean, there's been history they have found that proves that the Bible is real, you know, that it's true. You can study it backwards and forward, but they're at the very bottom line there, when you get to the very end of it, you still have to take a step of faith. At some point, you got to say, "Yes, I believe this." Now, how much evidence does it take to convince you? That I don't know. Everybody is in a different place there. But at some point, you have to make the decision. And that's exactly what Jesus says. You know, "You do not believe because you're not my sheep." So when all the evidence says that it's true, you have to finally just say, "Yes, Jesus, I surrender to you." And it goes on in that scripture. It says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." And then another punchline to just remind people of who he is. "I and the Father are one." So, is Jesus a prophet? Is he a good man, or is he the Son of God? Well, he can't be a prophet, because if he was a prophet, he'd be a false prophet and a liar. That's a pretty tough thing to say. But if you read the Bible and you read these scriptures and you study all that, there's no way that he can be a prophet. He can't be a good man, because he'd be delusional or something. I mean, this dude's going around claiming that he's the Son of God. Well, all they had to look at was all the miracles that he did. Now, we have something else to look at, which should make it even easier for us to believe as to who he says he is. Now, we all know he was crucified. And we all know that 3 days later he rose from the dead. That ought to be enough proof to any of us that he is who he says he is. He rose from the dead 3 days later. I ain't seen anybody else ever do that. That is 100% convincing to me that he is who he says he is. But like I said, you still have to take that. If you're right there, you're going, man, I really want to believe this. And it sure seems to make sense. And all the evidence that I've studied, you know, it points to that he is the Son of God. And man, I don't like my life. And I keep hearing, you know, Christians say that life can be better if I believe in him. And I want to make that decision. Now, if you're right there, you just got to take that last step and say, yes, Jesus, I believe. And he's going to fill your heart with the Holy Spirit, and your life does change at that point. I know when I did it, my life changed for the better. It doesn't make your life easier all the time. You still have struggles. You're still going to fight. I mean, there's still things go wrong in your life. It's not going to be the easiest life. If anything, some of it actually gets harder because all of a sudden, you know right from wrong. Or not necessarily that you knew right from wrong before, probably, but all of a sudden you care about right from wrong. I mean, before you know Jesus, man, I was just thinking, life was pretty easy. If I wanted to do it, I did it. I didn't care if it was right or wrong. I mean, it was just what I thought was right, you know, what the world teaches now. You know, everybody has their own reality, you know. My morals are not necessarily the same as your morals. Well, what happens when you take Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, all of a sudden, you got the Word of God telling you, this is how a person ought to live, and we should make every effort to live that way. All of a sudden, we have a moral standard that's a whole bunch higher than anything that we ever had. But the awesome thing is, no matter how many times we mess up, and no matter how many times we fall down, God's mercies are new every morning. So once we make a decision to ask Jesus into our life and we start following him and we're trying real hard to please him and things are going wrong and I messed up again yesterday and then I messed up again this morning before I got up. I mean, that's just the way people are. I mean, we're sinners. And the only difference between a sinner that has Jesus as a Savior and a sinner that doesn't is the fact that we're children of God, and someday we get to spend eternity with him, and he helps us through this life. But we're still sinners, but we're forgiven. His death on the cross paid for all the sins. And, you know, it's kind of funny because, I know I'm kind of rambling a little bit this morning, but I can't help it. It's kind of funny because you hear people say, you know, man, I just don't understand how God could let all these people go to hell. You know, why would he let all these people go to hell? That's just not it. I mean, a loving God would never do that. And it's like he's giving everybody the opportunity to come to know Jesus. And if we don't want to know Jesus and we don't want to spend our life with him here, why would we want to spend our life with him in eternity? I heard a comment once, God's not going to take you kicking and screaming and drag you into heaven. If you don't want to follow him, he doesn't make you. That's why we're not like the animals. I mean, we have freedom of choice. Now, I hope every person here already knows Jesus. I know most of you already do. But the person that's here now and feels that knock on your heart and you've read all the evidence, and you're exactly where I said you might be. You know, you know the evidence points towards it, and you just need that last little bit. Take that step of faith. I'm not going to ask you to come up here. Now, we could put you in the hot seat, but we won't do that. But I won't be here all day. And if you want to know more about it, come look me up. Let's talk about it. Because it's got to make sense, because if it doesn't make sense to you, even after you make the decisions, you're going to be confused. But when it makes sense to you and you take that step of faith, it's the best thing that you've ever done. And with that, I'd like to close. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we love you. We thank you that you sent Jesus as the Son of God. Now, we don't totally understand how the Trinity works. We don't know how we can have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and they're all three God in one, just one entity, but still three persons. That's a little bigger than our human mind can understand. Now, I'm sure someday when we're up there with you, we can understand it, but then we probably won't care. We're just going to be so happy that we're with you that that's all that's going to matter. But Lord, there's so many good people here at these races. There's so many people that try to lead a good life, man. They're good. Motocrossers are just notoriously good for helping each other and take care of one another. They're just good people. But there's still some of them, even so they are good, don't know you. And in their mind, they may think, you know, I'm living a good life. I don't need anybody. But they still need Jesus, because they still need someone to pay the debt for the sins that they commit. So, Father, I just ask that you touch their hearts and stir their hearts and draw them to you. Let this day be the day of change in their life, to where they come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Their life will never be the same. We just thank you so much for that, Lord. Father, as we get ready to go this morning, to go out there on the track, I just ask that you watch over every one of us. Let us have a good time. And Lord, let us just do it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming.